And hey, we are actually joined now by Gary Stokes, a passionate local historian and longtime advocate for preserving the cultural legacy of the St. George region. Gary is actually here to talk about Lindham Hall, which is one of the oldest surviving homes in the area, a sandstone villa steeped in stories of butchers, oyster farmers, naturalists, and literary legends. From its 19th century origins to its recent reopening in 2024, Lindham Hall has weathered subdivision, restoration, and even lockdowns, emerging as a vibrant museum and community touchstone. Gary will be walking us through its layered history and why this heritage-listed site continues to matter. Gary, have I got you?
Yes, you have. Brilliant. Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So first, I wanted to ask you, Gary, if you could please take us back to the late 1870s. What kind of vision did Joseph Davis have when he built Lindham Hall, and how did it reflect the ambitions of the time?
Look, back in the 1870s, the vision that Joseph Davis had was he was actually in business to make money. He had a successful butcher's business in King Street, Newtown. The original butcher's was where the Elizabeth Bookshop is in King Street now. So he had the butcher shop there, and he was looking for land to fatten the cattle that he was going to slaughter to sell in the butcher shop. So he would buy the cattle out at Homebush, and the cattle was taken along from Homebush through Kings Grove and along Stony Creek Road to Lindham Hall, where the cattle was grazed and fattened up, and then taken down to the slaughterhouses at Arncliffe, which was next to the Cooks River. So it was very different times back in the 1870s.
Yeah, wow, very, very different indeed. I wanted to also ask about Christina Stead, who spent really part of her childhood here. How do you think the house and its surroundings shaped her literary imagination?
Look, that's a great question. And we do run some talks specifically on Christina. They're held regularly, and there's a few scheduled for next year. So if anybody's interested in Christina and her life and stories, check out our website and you can come and have a listen to the talks.
But yeah, brilliant.
Her history and background was her father actually was a second marriage, and when Christina moved into the house as a young child and grew up there until she was about 12 years old, she had several siblings and... She actually looked after a lot of her siblings and grew up around the area. The father had collected really exotic animals, as they were known. He had emus and snakes and turtles and whatnot.
Wow.
That he kept around the house. And so it was quite an adventurous time. Don't forget, it was still very much... a bigger area, a bigger estate than what it is now.
Yes, of course. And obviously, you know, from you've mentioned cattle paddocks, there's also council archives. Lindham Hall has threaded many narratives. What do you think has been its most surprising transformation?
Look, I think the house, over the years, it's morphed into many things, but one of the things that has been really good that the house hasn't actually changed much over the years.
Mm.
It still is in its original condition. The fireplaces and woodwork and everything are still all the original things that hasn't really suffered too much through restoration.
Wow.
It was bought by the council back in the 1970s, and it was to become a museum and a home for the St. George Historical Society. So I think that that's been a real positive thing for the house, you know, to keep it as it was.
Yeah, fantastic. And, you know, the hall reopened in 2024 after years of closure. What do you think was that moment like for the community, and what has anything changed inside since?
Well, it has. Look, I grew up in the St. George area, and I remember going to the house as a school kid, as a school excursion, and now I'm a little bit older than that.
Mm.
So it was really good to go back and revisit it. My auntie used to live in the next street. But the house itself had been neglected for a few years and run down a little bit. One of the things, one of the positive things of COVID, if we can say that, is that it gave a chance for the St George Historical Society to have a real good look at the house, do a big revamp over it. There was some restoration work done on it, and we gave it a good clean out and got rid of all the old musty stuff. Some of the things like the doilies, the lace doilies had stuck to the furniture and they had to be removed, and all right. of that stuff has been fixed up.
Wow.
And so a lot of loving, tender loving care by the volunteers have put all that together and brought it up to scratch. But one of the really good things about the house is that I don't think that the original Joseph Davis vision would have seen this, but it's become a real hive of activity for the local community, which has been great. And we, during, you know, over the last sort of 20 years or something, it was averaging maybe 4 or 5 visitors a month would go through the house. Since we opened in 2024, we're averaging about 100 visitors on an open day, which is the first Sunday of every month.
Wow.
They come through the house. We have pipe bands. We have brass bands. We have opera. We have the local opera company comes and does performances there. We've had talks on the history of chocolate making, and you can't sort of say St George area without thinking of Darrell Lees.
So
we've had a chocolate historian come in and talk about the history of chocolate. That proved to be really, really positive. We've done fundraising for the Red Cross. We've done fundraising for the Dementia Association. And so it's become a real hive of activity for the local community, and it's nice to see older people coming in and with that memory of, like myself, memory of that as a kid. But it's really great to see young families coming in with kids. And one thing about the museum is it's a hands-on museum. So you can sit on the lounges, you can open the drawers. The museum is set up like the people are living there and they've just walked out, and you can go in and look under the bed and open the cupboards and pick up the teacups and try everything that's there. So we have a policy of you are allowed to touch and you are allowed to sit on things, and I think that makes it a little bit more interactive, and a lot of the younger kids love that.
Yeah, I can imagine so, because, you know, as a young kid, when you move through a museum, all you want to do is touch the stuff. And this is a place where you can actually get involved and interactive with the historical site itself. And I think that it's so beautiful that this is, you know, really moved beyond just, you know, a piece that a place where people can come to experience nostalgia and history, but also, you know, it's a bit, as you said before, it's definitely become and evolved into a bit of a community hub, which I think is fantastic. So many kudos to you and everyone on the team there and all of the volunteers for putting together such an amazing place.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's really good. We had the cafe opened on a Sunday, and on the veranda we have it set up. People can come in and have Devonshire teas and sit and just relax in the gardens. It's quite beautiful, actually. So, yeah,
that's
good.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Gary, to tell us all about Lyndham Hall. It's been great. It sounds like a fantastic place. Thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
No worries. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye. Many thanks to Gary Stokes for sharing his insights and stories about Lyndham Hall in its